Thank you very much. What a wonderful privilege to worship our Lord. I'd ask you to turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men could not put Humpty together again. We're all familiar with that nursery rhyme. I'm not saying that it was written with King Uzziah in mind, but it certainly could have been. The rise and fall of King Uzziah. And we want to look at that this evening, particularly here in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. But we want to look at that and then make application to our own lives again. King Uzziah was prospered by God and abounded, but he did not know how to abound. And that can be repeated many times in the history of Israel. It can still be repeated in the lives of many people today. Do we really know how to abound without falling? Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you again for your grace, your mercy in our lives. May we constantly, daily humble ourselves before that grace and mercy. In our abundance, help us not to forget you. In our abundance, help us to recognize that it is a gift of your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In verse 1 of 2 Chronicles 26, we read, "Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the stead of his father, Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah after the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign. He reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did." We've seen this same statement made as it relates to other kings that we've looked at. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. That's a general statement of Uzziah's overall reign. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. That doesn't mean he was perfect. Doesn't mean he did everything right. In fact, as we will see, he did not. But generally speaking, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And we have that testimony written for us here in 2 Chronicles 26. As we have seen with other kings, when they do that which was right in the sight of the Lord, God did bless. God did prosper them. And we see that with Uzziah as well. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord. And notice in verse 5, "He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper." He sought the Lord. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and he sought the Lord. And it tells us that as long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. That word sought there is a rather fascinating word. It really comes from a root word that means to tread frequently. Kind of the idea of, most of us are familiar with a game trail, you know, a deer trail. You walk through the woods and all at once you see this path that the deer have treaded on frequently, and it makes a path. And that's the meaning of this word. In other words, when it says he sought the Lord, the idea was that he was frequently going to God. That was just a habit in his life, that he was treading his way to God daily, frequently, seeking God, wanting God's will, knowing what God had written in his word, and he was frequently treading his way to God. That was his habit. That's a habit all of us need to have. We need to be seeking the Lord, need to be frequently treading our way to God as we seek his wisdom, as we seek his will, as we seek to do that which is right in his sight. So he sought the Lord, but notice, there's kind of a foreshadowing here, isn't there? He sought God in the days of Zechariah. That just kind of leaves you hanging, doesn't it? What about the days after Zechariah? It just kind of leaves you hanging. There's kind of a foreshadowing as the author writes this down. There's kind of a foreshadowing. Uzziah sought the Lord in the days of Zechariah. Now, this Zechariah is not the same Zechariah that has a book named after him later on in our Old Testament. Not the same Zechariah, but this Zechariah is a prophet. He had understanding the visions of God. He was a prophet, and he was one of the advisors for King Uzziah, and he gave good advice, and King Uzziah sought God during the days of Zechariah and did what was right in the sight of the Lord. There's also kind of a foreshadowing there. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. As long as he sought the Lord. Isn't that kind of, again, kind of leaves you hanging? Kind of a foreshadowing. As long as he sought the Lord, but was there a time that he didn't seek the Lord? It just kind of leaves you hanging there. There's this foreshadowing. So he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. He sought the Lord. He treaded frequently to God for wisdom and for doing what was right. And God did prosper him. Verses 6 through 8, he became quite famous. And he went forth and warred against the Philistines and broke down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabna and the wall of Ashdod. They are all three cities of the Philistines. And he broke down their walls, the walls of the city. He built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. Man, there's some boldness, isn't it? You tear down their walls and then you build cities right in their midst. Right in the land of the Philistines, here's King Uzziah building cities for Israel, for Judah. Verse 7, and God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians who dwelt in Gerbaal and the Munim. And the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad even to the entrance of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. His fame was known all the way down to Egypt. So he's building these cities right in the midst of the Philistines, and he's defeating the Arabians, and he's defeating the Ammonites, and his fame spreads all the way to Egypt. God prospered him. He became quite famous. He became quite powerful. In verse 9, moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the turning of the wall and fortified them. And he built towers in the desert and digged many wells, for he had much cattle, both in the Shephelah and in the plains. Husbandmen also and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. Moreover, Uzziah had an host of fighting men who went out to war by bands according to the number of their reckoning by the hand of Jeiel, the scribe, and Maaseiah, the ruler, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The whole number of the heads of the fathers' houses of the mighty men of valor were 2,600. And under their hand was an army 307,500 that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. He became very powerful, a large army. He built towers in the walls of Jerusalem. Notice verse 15, he made in Jerusalem engines or catapults invented by skillful men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. God prospered him. He became very famous. He became very powerful. He had a great army. They invented these catapults that would throw arrows and great stones from the walls of Jerusalem. That had never been done before until Uzziah that he was able to do that there in Jerusalem. And he became very strong. Don't you wish the story would just end right there? I've used this word many times, but when you come to verse 16, but. Oh boy, that's a sign of things not good. When the word but follows the sentence, he was made strong, that can't be a good thing. Now we've got a contrast. He was strong, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. What's that remind you of? Isn't there a verse in Proverbs someplace? Pride cometh before destruction, and a haughty spirit before fall. He was lifted up with pride to his destruction. He was doing what was right in the sight of the Lord. He was seeking the Lord frequently. He's famous. He's becoming powerful. He's doing all these things to protect Israel. Wonderful things. He's strong, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his own destruction. What happened? What happened to Uzziah? It says, when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord, who were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, it appertains not unto you, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priest, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed, neither shall it be for your honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah was angry. You see, Uzziah had no business going into the temple to burn incense. That was not his job as king. That was the priest's job. God did not give permission for the king to do such things. That was something that only the priests were allowed to do. But Uzziah, in his pride, in essence, was saying, well, I can do this. Look how famous I am. Look how powerful I am. I can certainly go in there and burn incense. But it was in disobedience to God. And he's lifted up with pride, and he's confronted with Azariah, the priest, and other 80 other priests. And Uzziah gets angry in verse 19 and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was angry with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from there. Yea, he himself hastened also to go out because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a separate house, being a leper. For he was cut off from the house of the Lord, and Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. He's lifted up with pride. He disobeys God in pride. He goes in to burn incense in the temple, which was not his job to do as king, only the priest could do. When he was confronted, he gets angry, and God gives him leprosy until the day he dies. He can't even live in the palace anymore. His son has to basically reign in his stead because of pride. God hates pride. We read in Proverbs chapter 6, the seven things that are abomination to the Lord, and the first one mentioned is a proud look. The first thing that God mentions there in Proverbs 6 of the abominations, the seven things that he hates, is pride. And so when Uzziah is lifted up with pride, he falls. You know, if you go back just a couple of pages to chapter 24, this is a king that we haven't looked at, but Uzziah's grandfather had a similar problem. Notice chapter 24 and verse 1. Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zahijah of Beersheba. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but notice again that foreshadowing, all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Just like with Uzziah, he did that was right in the sight of the Lord. He sought the Lord all the days of Zechariah. And now we go back, and this is Uzziah's grandfather. It says, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Again, kind of a foreshadowing there. And Joash did those good things. He repairs the temple. In verses 8 through 14, they take up a special offering. And with that special offering, they make the repairs in the temple. And they restore the worship of Jehovah there at the temple. Wonderful things taking place. Verse 15, notice what it starts with. But. There's that word again. But. Jehoiada grew old and was full of days when he died, and 130 years old was he when he died. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house. Now after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. Then the king hearkened unto them. And they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served images and idols. And wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass. Yet he, that is God, sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord. And they testified against them, but they would not give ear. Uzziah's grandfather did the exact same thing. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord. He gets lifted up with pride. As long as he had the advisor, Jehoiada, he did what was right, but as soon as Jehoiada's gone, he starts listening to other advisors, and they leave the worship of Jehovah. Uzziah had an advisor, Zechariah. But once Zechariah's out of the picture, he gets lifted up with pride. You know, can I just throw this out for our own understanding and for our own challenge? Do you have a Jehoiada in your life? Do you have a Zechariah in your life? Somebody who's a close enough friend that they will get in your face and say you're wrong if you start down the wrong path. We all need a Jehoiada. We all need a Zechariah in our life to keep us humble, so that we can know how to abound. You know, last week we looked at King Hezekiah and how he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and he sought the Lord as well, and how when he was faced with a battle, he went to the temple and he prayed before God and knew that the only way they could win in that battle was by God's grace, because they were far outnumbered. And God did indeed give them great victory. And so Hezekiah, and this Hezekiah is the great-grandson of Uzziah. But would you go back with me to 2 Kings chapter 20? We didn't get this far in our study last week with Hezekiah. But now we look at the great-grandson of Uzziah. And he, again, Hezekiah did a lot of good things, did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He trusted in God. He laid it out before God when they were faced with an overwhelming battle, and God delivered mightily. But he did not know how to abound. God prospered him greatly, and he got lifted up with pride. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 12. At that time, Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present unto Hezekiah, for he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick. And Hezekiah hearkened unto them and showed them all the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment and all the house of his armor and all that was found in his treasuries. There was nothing in his house nor all his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not. Why do you think he showed them all that stuff? Pride. Look what I have accomplished. Look at all this wealth that I have accumulated. Look at all that I have reign over. Lifted up with pride. And he shows it all to the Babylonians. Verse 14. Then came Isaiah the prophet and King Hezekiah unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, What said these men? And from where came they unto you? And Hezekiah said, They are come from a far country, even from Babylon. And he said, What have they seen in your house? And Hezekiah answered, All the things that are in my house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. And Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, Hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days come that all that is in your house and that which your fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord. Hezekiah, because of your pride, the Babylonians will come back and they're going to take it all. That is known as the 70-year captivity, because that's exactly what happened. The Babylonians took Judah and defeated them and took them into captivity for 70 years because of Hezekiah's pride. He did not know how to abound. In fact, notice verse 18, and some of your sons who shall issue from you, whom you shall beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Notice Hezekiah's pride. Verse 19, Then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah, Good is the word of the Lord which you have spoken. And he said, It is not good. And he said, Is it not good if peace and truth be in my days? Think about that. Hezekiah, this isn't going to happen while you're alive, but your sons are going to be carried into captivity and they're going to be made eunuchs. And what's his response? Well, that's a good thing. At least I don't have to deal with it. What kind of pride and attitude is that? At least it's going to be good during my life. And that's the depths to which Hezekiah went in his pride. At least it's going to be good during my days. When I'm gone, I don't have to worry about it. Lifted up with pride. He did not know how to abound. We read earlier from Deuteronomy where God warned Israel of being lifted up with pride as a nation. He gave them this land flowing with milk and honey, a wonderful land, a prosperous land. And he said, you're going to get in there and you're going to be able to eat. There's not going to be any scarcity at all. It's going to be a wonderful land for you. But there's a chance that you're going to be lifted up with pride and you're going to say it's because of me. That is, because of myself that we have this wealth. It's because of our wisdom. It's because of our strength that we have this wealth. I've accumulated this wealth because of my greatness instead of giving the glory to God. And that's exactly what happened in the nation of Israel. It's exactly what happened with these kings. Again, as we think of Paul's statement, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. And we usually read that and we think, I know how to be abased. Boy, that's a challenge to know how to live in poverty and to trust God. That's a challenge. But you know what? Maybe it's even more of a challenge to trust God when we're abounding. And would you not agree that that's where our nation is today? We are abounding. We live in such great abundance, and we are lifted up with pride. Look what we have done. We don't know how to abound. And as believers, we need to examine our own hearts. Do I know really how to abound? I like what Proverbs chapter 30 says. We're not going to take time, but basically it says, Lord, don't make me live in poverty, lest I end up stealing. But then he says, don't allow me to live in abundance, lest I forget you. Interesting prayer there in Proverbs chapter 30. He says, I don't want to live in poverty. I could go off the rails there and go and steal because I'm in poverty, but don't bless me abundantly either, because I'll probably forget you. And that's where we are many times in our nation today. I'd like to conclude by taking you to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. How do we abound? If we say we want to know how to abound, where do we start? How do I abound and not get lifted up with pride? Well, 1 Corinthians 4 is a great place to start. Verse 7. For who makes you to differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did receive it, why do you glory or brag as if you have not received it? In other words, Paul's saying, everything you have, you've been given by God. It's out of His grace. It's not because of your greatness. It's not because of your wisdom. It's not because you're so wonderful. It's just God's grace. You've been given by God's grace everything you have. That's where our thinking needs to start. The only way I can know how to abound is to recognize that all of my abundance has nothing to do with me. It's all of God. It's His grace. It's His gift to me. And then go from there to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. If I know how to abound, if I'm going to know how to abound, I've got to start there. Everything I have is by God's grace and a gift from Him. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul's testimony, again, you're familiar with it. He was given a thorn in the flesh. And he prayed that the Lord would take it from him, and the Lord said no. And Paul says, the Lord said no because He needed to keep me humble. And then in verse 9, and He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities or in my weakness, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in weakness, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. First, we need to recognize everything we have is a gift by God's grace. And then secondly, we need to recognize that we are weak. No matter how much we have, no matter how much abundance has been bestowed upon us, we are weak. And as long as we recognize our weakness, then we can be made strong. But the minute I get lifted up with pride and think I'm strong, I will fall. King Uzziah is that example to us this evening. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men could not put Humpty together again. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank You so much again for this opportunity to be together tonight. Father, help us to examine our own hearts. It's so easy to be lifted up with pride. We have difficulty knowing how to abound. I pray that we'd recognize all that we have is by Your grace. Help us to recognize that in and of ourselves, we can do nothing. We are weak. Without Christ, we can do nothing. But Father, we can be made strong in our weakness as we depend upon You. Thank You again for our time together tonight. In Jesus' name, shall we stand? Father, as we go our separate ways, help us to indeed abide in Christ so that we can indeed accomplish Your will this week as we go about our activities, as we go about our responsibilities. Help us to fulfill those responsibilities to Your honor and to Your glory and to do so in Your strength. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good evening. May God bless you.